March 10th, 2007. You're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, episode 72.
And of course, Spartans have the reputation to consider.
Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last as king.
Madman. You're a madman.
Earth and water. But you'll find plenty of both down there.
No man. Persian or Greek, no man threatens a messenger.
You bring the crowns and heads of conquered kings to my city steps. You insult my queen. You threaten my people with slavery and death. Oh, I've chosen my words carefully, Persian. Perhaps you should have done the same.
This is blasphemy. This is madness.
This is...
Monty Python's A Flying Circus.
You, how to defend yourself against anyone who attacks you armed with a piece of fresh fruit.
We promised we wouldn't do fruit this week.
What do you mean?
Well, we've done fresh fruit for the last 9 weeks.
What's wrong with fruit? You think you know it all, eh?
Well, can't we do something else for a change?
Like someone who attacks you with a pointed stick.
Pointed sticks?
Or make spears. Hundreds of them. Long spears, twice as long as a man.
Not long. Some men are longer than others.
Your mother been telling you stories about me again, eh?
Colonel, you better take a look at this radar.
What is it, son?
I don't know, sir. But it looks like a giant
dick.
Yeah.
Take a look out of starboard.
Oh, my God. It looks like a huge...
pecker!
Oh, yeah.
Wait. That's not a woodpecker. It looks like someone's...
Private! We have reports of an unidentified flying object. It is a long, smooth shaft, complete with two balls.
What is that? That looks just like an enormous...
Wang, pay attention.
I was distracted by that enormous flying...
Willie.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, it looks like a giant...
Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Get on the horn to British intelligence and let them know about this.
Oh,
little Bethel Stonewall on me.
Walter! What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Here you go, Larry. You see what happens? You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens? This is what happens, Larry. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps? This is what happens. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens, Larry? This is what happens when you feed a soldier scrambled eggs. What happens, Larry?
Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Yes, it is, and welcome to the show, episode 72 of Nowhere in Mulberry. My uppers are wearing off, so I'm slowly getting quieter. To my left, I have Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot. How are you doing, Steven? I hope you had a great week.
It was okay. It was good. Good week.
Good deal. Also, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Righty-ho, I'm just fine.
It's nice to have you with us too, sir. And we also have the Mulberry Newswoman, Vanessa. Vanessa, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. We had a good week. We had a week off, actually. We might have confused some listeners with episode 71 coming out, and we're talking about shows from 2 weeks ago. Just in case you didn't realize, we took the week off because of my daughter's birthday. Good times were had by all, and now we're back. We also hope that everyone enjoyed our Oscar show. We had a little Oscar thing, and I hope that everyone could sit through that because it was really long. But we're back here, and we're ready to talk some TV shows and stuff. And I noticed, Bill, that a lot of new shows are coming, you know, what do they call mid-season replacements, such as that new Andy Richter sitcom.
Which is hilarious. Andy Barker, P.I.
Yeah, I can't wait. Isn't Conan one of the co-creators of the show?
Co-creators and co-writers.
And you've actually seen some of the episodes, right?
Yeah, I watched all six that they have currently. They're posted on NBC.com.
And you like it?
Yeah, I liked all of them. They were all really, really funny.
Could it easily replace any of the Thursday night sitcoms?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Easy.
I really think that Earl has lost its way. Could replace that, couldn't it, easily?
Oh, yeah, and I think it's got kind of a goofy Earl vibe to it, but it's just much better written. It's cool. Much funnier.
I can't wait to see that. They also have the new Reigns with Jeff Goldblum. And
he looks horrible, doesn't he?
When has he not looked horrible?
He can... Well, Vanessa, I don't know if you knew this, but he can talk with the dead, and he's a cop.
Wow, that's original.
Yeah.
It's the television remake of the Bob Hoskins, Denzel Washington classic, Heart Condition.
Nice!
That is one big pile of shit.
Oh, thank
you. Yes, it is.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm going to check it out, because I got to check out all pilots. Like, did anyone check out The Black Donnellys?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's a really well-made show, and I know my wife loves the show. Here's my problem with it. The guys seem way too young to be tough guys.
I'm also a large fan of the One Tree Hill Donnellys.
Yeah.
I like them a lot.
But I don't know. I shouldn't be watching a show about street toughs and feel like I could kick all of their asses. Should I be able to? I mean, I'm not a tough guy. I wasn't brought up. I'm not a Southie or anything.
Well,
but
really,
I feel like I could beat the crap out of all those guys.
It's just the oldest brother who thinks he's so tough.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if something like this could succeed on NBC.
And then, you know, it kind of reminded me of, like, a thug version of Good Will Hunting.
Or I'm going to say even, like, a State of Grace, but the teenage years.
Yeah. I don't see this show lasting.
And, you know, I'm giving it a chance. I've watched the first two episodes. I'm still with it. I haven't, like, I can't watch this anymore.
No, it's not horrible.
Yeah, hopefully it'll get better. But my main problem right out the gate is, man, these guys look too young. That's the way I feel. I love the ending of the first episode where they kill all the bad guys. I thought that was cool. So as long as any kind of primetime violence is good to me, I think.
My main problem with the show is that NBC is giving it so much, you know, advertisement, and they're giving nothing to Friday Night Lights, and that just angers the hell out of me.
Yeah, that gets on my nerves, and I don't want Friday Night Lights to go away. I certainly would take Friday Night Lights over any of these new shows. Every season, probably every network has to take a chance on a show that's not doing the greatest, but they keep it on the air because they know people like it. They need to do that with this show. I know Arrested Development struggled the whole time it was on Fox, but everyone loved it. So they're like, oh, we'll keep it on. They kept it on long enough to give it a series finale. Mm-hmm. And I just hope Friday Night Lights can get a second season. Because I mean, the
I
first
want
season...
Friday Night Lights to last until it has 100 episodes. That way they can just go into syndication.
So there's a bunch of different new shows. Like there's Wedding Bells on Fox.
Oh, yeah, I'll tune right into that one. A bunch of wedding planners.
It's three sisters who run a wedding chapel type of thing. I watched that. I laughed a few times.
Gay.
You watched it?
Yeah, I did. It's created by, what's his head?
Gay.
David E. Kelly?
Yeah, it's created by David E. Kelly, and he has some fun writing. It's got some laughs in it. It's also got the guy who starred in the great show Special Unit 2. That guy is
holy crap.
And there's some new Laura Prepon show on ABC. The girl, what's that about?
Oh, yeah. It looks like a dramatic Ed. What's it called? October Road or something?
Yeah, it's one of those. The guy comes back to town, his old high school sweetheart. And it's one of those kind of
she's
films.
She's married with children.
Yeah, we've seen it all before.
But she still loves him.
But you know what? The way I am, I'm going to watch the pilot. I'll watch the pilot and see how far it goes. Then another sad thing is I think Knights of Prosperity's gone, Bill. It's not coming back.
Well, you know what? I'm not really that disappointed. I don't think they ever really got their, you know, their shit together on that one.
Yeah,
never watched it.
I loved it. Yeah, thanks, Vanessa. That was helpful.
No, I was going to say, was it like a sketch comedy show or something? Or
yes,
no.
It was like
it was a sketch comedy.
It was like that Drew Carey show.
Yeah, it was like Fridays.
No,
smart ass.
No, it was like that. What was it? The Drew Carey thing. The
you know, there's a show
Dwayne
coming
Ray.
Out like that. Yeah, it's called.
Whose line is it anyway?
Thank God You're Here, where they have people on and. They do a thing where people arrive to a party and go, thank God you're here, and they improv, so that ought to be disastrous. But you know what, I'm really not that disappointed that the Knights of Prosperity is gone, because I'm really happy about Andy Barker PI, because it's just a really funny show. I really love sitting there watching it. I couldn't stop watching it.
Well, that's
I watched
cool.
all six episodes in a row.
That's cool, because I can't wait to see it. And the thing I'm sad about Knights of Prosperity is it was the creators of Ed, and I love that show. I wanted them to have a success, and that whenever you have a success, that leads to more deals. Mm-hmm. Like, they did good with this show. Unfortunately, they didn't, so maybe it'll be like 5 years before they have another show. Oh, well, it was good stuff. We got to do something, you guys. Letter writing campaign.
Last episode was a rerun
I've already written two letters. I wrote an email about Friday Night Lights on the NBC website, and I've actually written a written letter that I sent via mail.
Wow, nice.
Wow.
Way to
you wrote
go,
a letter
dude.
For the mail?
Yeah. Well, you know what? They pay more attention to received mail because it's a physical thing than they do emails. They just skim emails.
The thing that I've read is how TiVo is going to start giving their stats. People who want to volunteer what shows they watch, they will report it, which, hey, I'm all for it. I want people to know
I
watch Friday Night Lights.
I mean, yeah, there's multiple shows on. And...
Yeah, so many people TiVo shows, and they don't watch them right then live. The Nielsen's are a joke. We've talked about this a long time ago on the show, but Nielsen's are a joke. They need to come up with a new system.
Save a porno once in a while on the TiVo. I don't mind what they they see what I watch.
Yeah, why
Skinamax.
Not?
Of course, Skinamax.
Yeah,
some of those
Emmanuel.
Have really good plots. They got good acting.
Good acting.
Yeah.
Good Emmanuel
direction.
In space.
Yes, there's some Emmanuel movies.
With Krista Allen.
The funny thing about some of those, the really edited softcore ones where they start and then it's like them lying in bed the next morning.
Yeah.
It's like, what just happened?
Those are normally the ones that are like cut from hardcores.
Yeah, it's just like, what happened? Did they... It's like, you cut it all out. What the...
That would have really confused a young kid that was watching that on TV, like, trying to learn what sex was about.
I see these just start kissing, rubbing up against one another,
and then all of a sudden they're asleep.
It's some kind of time traveler.
Fade to black. Wake up in the morning.
Does everything fade to black?
you fall unconscious. Well, guys, we got a voicemail from the mystery man. Let's check it out.
Hi, Mulberry. Slight technical question. How do you guys manage to broadcast sounding like you're all in the same room from remote locations? Are you using Skype and some sort of program that cleans it up? Maybe you might take a second to let us neophytes know just what is behind the veil of secrecy that allows you guys to appear simultaneously on a podcast. Just curious. And that Andy guy, I'm listening to your Oscars just right now. Is he on elephant tranquilizers? I'm concerned. Bye.
What? What does he mean?
Well, you know, it's good to be concerned about people you love.
Yeah. Elephant tranquilizers. Okay. The way we record the show is a secret, veiled in mystery, but yeah.
G4 classified.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it deals with classified teleportation.
Yes.
You know, we can't really, Montauk Project kind of stuff.
Yeah, we'll just leave it
at
that.
We'll use a flux capacitor.
Yeah. So we got another voicemail. Let's check it out.
Speaking of Meg Ryan looking like a plastic surgery gargoyle, you guys really ought to check out awfulplasticsurgery.com.
Been there.
Before the next show.
It's a great site.
Fodder for about five shows out of that baby. Action stabbing weapons.
Yes, thank you.
Is that now our motto? should we get shirts with nowhere yeah. knives and stabbing weapons?
Yes, we should.
We will begin producing those shortly.
Knives and stabbing weapons. I think we should. I've never looked at that site, nor do I want to. So.
It's a fun site. I like
look at Kate Beckinsale, her boob job. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that is pretty bad. And so is
poor
they've
Kate.
Got some great pictures of like the Jacksons and Barry Manilow and like that Jocelyn Wildenstein, the cat lady.
Oh
like,
yeah,
what
that lady.
What she looked
up.
Like before all the plastic surgery?
Did she need any at all?
She wasn't very attractive before.
But it's even worse. Though,
a lot
now.
Of these women, they don't need any plastic surgery.
I
and I know
the,
they
the
always
Barbie,
say
the Barbie doll. Lady.
Yeah, but they always say it's up to the person, you know, they're insecure. Yeah, I know that, but still, you could tell them that, hey, it's all in your head. Like,
you need to see a psychiatrist first, and then...
They're coming from a guy's point of view, though.
It's just like...
it's an addiction.
Yeah,
it's
I know, but 100... it is. It's like people who get tattoos. They keep getting tattoos. They keep getting piercings. It's an addiction like anything else. Man, start smoking crack,
all
right?
It's all narcissism, really.
A lot of times, what you don't like about yourself is your character.
Yeah.
I mean, adds character. Like, oh, I don't like my earlobes. Well, that's probably what's cute about you, and people notice it, but you're insecure about it.
But look at Owen Wilson. He's got a nose that looks like a dick, and he's not
wow.
or anything.
Exactly, Bill. You're setting the wrong example I'm trying to make.
Sorry.
Because, you know, his dick nose makes him, who he is.
He starts with that on it.
Dick.
Yes, thank you. Hi, nice to meet you, Cognos. I mean, hi, Owen. Sir.
Now you won't be able to see anything but that when he's if you ever happen to see him.
Now I'm going to think that when he has nasal drip.
Not only does he look like he has a dick nose, but he looks like Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, wow.
Every time I look at him, I think he's Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, you know what's weird is he looks like a sexier Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, he does.
That's not hard.
Do you agree with me with that, Steven?
I'm at a loss with that one.
Nice.
You guys just didn't want to admit that he finds him attractive.
Come on, Steven.
That'd be like, that's admitting that you find Ellen attractive somewhat, that he's a more attractive
you know what?
Version.
Ellen isn't that bad. I mean, she's fugly, but...
Not at all.
There's nothing wrong with putting a bag over her head.
Oh, man. You're so romantic.
Suppose she can play baseball with her or something. Some guy sports. You know.
Yeah.
She would change oil on your car.
Some Cheetos.
It's like, hey, Ellen, could you change
she's
the spark
out there
plugs
her,
on my
she's
car?
She's out in her husband beater, so the wife beater.
Yeah.
We could eat bagel dogs together.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I love Ellen. So anyway, let's get into entertainment. What do you guys say? You want to get into some entertainment?
Sure. Yes.
Let's do it.
Himself, taught never to retreat, never to surrender, taught that death in the battlefield is the greatest glory he could achieve in his life. Spartans, the finest soldiers the world has ever known.
It's quiet now. They came from the blackness.
Be afraid! Sparta will burn to the ground! A thousand nations of the Persian Empire descend upon you.
What must a king do to save his world?
Instead, ask yourself, what should a free man do?
Threaten my people with slavery and death.
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta! We will stand and fight.
New age has begun.
An age of freedom. And all who know the 300 Spartans give their last breath to defend it. Spartans, tonight we dine in hell. But take from them everything.
We're in for one wild night.
Now, last night, Steven and I went and saw 300, and Bill, you saw it too.
Yes.
We're not here to review the film because, honestly, when I listen back to previous shows when we review things, it's just painful to listen
to.
Yeah,
we just kind of ramble about unnecessary things.
All over
we're
the
not
place.
Really reviewing anyway.
Yeah, we're not good reviewers. All I can tell you when I watch a movie is if I liked it or if I didn't like it or something like that. When I came out of 300, I was like, that was awesome, really cool. I think I said that's effing awesome to Steven.
Lots of knives and stabbing weapons.
Yes, lots of knives and stabbing weapons in the movie.
Mutilations.
I like titties. To see, I love movies like this. First of all, this movie is an R-rated flick. It's not
hard
this dumbed
R.
down PG-13 crap like Ghost Rider. This has breasts, it has blood. And Vanessa has a lot of pectoral muscles, a lot of abdomens.
Right, there was a lot of baby oil and water.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of washboards. I'm like, I'm getting kind of a homoerotic vibe from this flick.
Those guys definitely, I think those guys had 12-pack abs.
Yeah, they should have showed a scene where they have like boulders with a stick and they're like,
working
lifting
out.
Weights. Yeah. They got sandbags. Yeah, something like that.
I'm in Columbus. I saw the movie at, you know, Columbus is the second largest populated area for gays. So I go see it this morning at the first showing at like 11 a.m. And I swear to God, there was me and 10 other guys. And the 10 guys sat together and they were all oohing and awing during like the battle scene. Guys were all sheened up. And yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, what a job to have to oil them up.
The guy was
God,
gay.
I want that job.
Gay.
Vanessa, there's definitely a lot of man meat in the movie.
There
oh,
is.
Yeah.
But this is there's
there.
Just as much man meat as, well, there's a little less woman meat, but there, it's mainly man meat.
Good, yeah, pecs and blood, that's what I
we
mean.
We even get some man ass in the movie.
Oh, hell yeah, okay.
Some hermaphrodite ass.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff in the flick, but I'll say one, there were some action sequences in here. Of course, the whole thing is about a battle that takes place, right? There were some scenes where I was just totally like, just like riveted, like, oh, this is totally awesome. And Bill, you know the part with the giant dude, the weird muscular giant guy with the neck muscles when they set him loose on him? That whole sequence was friggin' awesome, I thought.
There were a couple sequences that were jaw-droppers. Like the scene with the two guys, they were just whipping through those guys with the covered-up faces that looked like demons and whatnot, where they're just, like, lopping the legs off, and it, like, it does this comic book pause, so, like, the guys are in midair with the leg off, and it was awesome.
And you know what that slow-mo pause is? Turning the page in the comic
book. That's what I thought it was. Comic panel stop.
Yeah, and there's a sequence with the rhinoceros I thought was totally awesome.
You know what? That made the scenes in Lord of the Rings with the elephants look like child's play.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say with each, it's cool how movies outdo each other. Like, Lord of the Rings, I still love those movies, but when I see this, it's like, okay, you just ruined Lord of the Rings for me.
But you know how much better Lord of the Rings would have been with, like, an R rating?
Right.
You know, for the battle scene?
This, you know the guys are in deep shit the whole time.
Well, I guess only because I know the story, and I know the book, and I know the history. I know what's happening, so I really didn't get that peril feeling. It was more of just kind of a fun time for me.
Yeah, and
like, I couldn't feel bad for these guys because I knew what was going to happen to them.
What I loved about it is how much they enjoyed it. They had basically Spartans, their whole lives are about
war.
Yeah,
just
you're being
training
warriors.
For war.
And the guys, when they're spying on the Persian army and they're completely outnumbered, and he's like, why are you smiling? He goes, we've waited our whole lives for a battle like this, you know? I've never had a challenge in battle before. They're easy victories. This time we have a challenge. And he's like smiling, grinning, all excited. Yeah. He's like, man, you guys are nuts. This is
almost, you can die with honor, essentially.
Yeah, how good.
They're almost like, I hate to say it, Klingon-esque, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the greatest thing, to die in battle, just outnumbered. This is like the best thing for them. And I loved how they were just... their sense of excitement as they were beating wave after wave. They're like, all right, okay, let's rest for a second.
It was like, you know the first wave that's all the slaves? And it's like, those are nothing. It's like,
yeah, and I love how the Xerxes, he keeps sending the new, he's like, okay, let's send something different that's tougher. Let's send in elephants. And they send in the elephants or whatever. But the one thing I'll say, the best part about this film for me was Gerard Butler as Leonidas. I thought he was fantastic. Yeah. I thought he was really good.
When I read the book and had him in my mind's eye, Gerard Butler just nailed it. I mean,
I mean, like, listen to this line. He's got so much energy in this.
This is Sparta!
And there are so many...
That scene made me cream my pants because it was frame for frame from the book. This whole movie was, except for the parts that they created to flesh out the story.
I love when they would do that after the king would say something. I mean, there was a lot of visually stunning parts in this film, of course, but the part with the dudes are throwing the what were those, like bombs? Like gunpowder bombs at them?
Yeah, little ceramic grenades.
Yeah, and they've got the one guy, the 300, the one Spartan charging him, and he has to stop and shield himself, and then he keeps getting closer and closer. Then finally he kills him. But the scene where it's like slow-mo of the sparks hitting his shield, that was like total just like joygasm money shot, you know what I mean?
There were a lot of those shots in the movie. Like, this morning when I saw it, I wasn't real big on it. But as I thought about it and as I talked to you throughout the day, I started to think about what I saw and how faithful and how incredible all of it was, and really started to like it even more, to the point where I've already ordered my tickets to go see it at the IMAX on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's sweet. One thing I'll say about this film also is that I thought the cast, the whole cast was great, besides Gerard Butler. They had, you know.
Yeah, the captain of the army was awesome. He was really good.
Yeah, wasn't the captain, he was the dude, wasn't he Faramir from Lord of the Rings? Brother of Boromir?
I think you're right.
I think that was him, because he was the guy who, his dad, the king, tried to set him on fire, but he was still alive.
Right? It was also the guy from The Wire.
Right. Yeah.
I noticed him right away.
He was the weasel part. If this was 24, they need to get
Judas.
That guy in 24. That was Judas. And the wife, great
Lena
part.
Lena Headey, great boobs. Vanessa, I got to say, those suckers, perfect.
You'll like this too,
small,
Vanessa. Spartan women, just as strong as the men.
Yeah. You know what I really loved is, I wondered how they were going to handle the Oracle in the film, just reading the book, and I just loved the way that Zack Snyder directed that
Yeah, it was really cool. It was underwater, I guess, right? They filmed it underwater?
Yeah. That because in the book, she's got kind of like that floating, sexual, writhing nature, and he just conveyed that perfectly.
And you know what? The slimy-looking leopard dudes, they look like Frank Miller's drawings.
Yeah.
They look like it. Even the little, down to the little warts and bumps. And it's like they just did it, you know, just perfectly. It was so incredible. And the word, you know, the narration, that was Frank Miller's voice there. And I love, there's parts where King Leonidas, when he has to make a decision, you see everything stop. And he's just listening to the world like he hears, you know, hears the wind and he looks down at the sand and then you hear the gulls in the sky. It was just, and then he makes his decision or whatever. There were some really great scenes there. And, you know, I can understand. When I see a movie like this, I'm like, hey, I wonder if anybody liked this as much as I. And you look around on the internet and you see some naysayers right away. It's like, I didn't like Sin City and I don't like this. I'm sick of video game movies. And I got to tell you,
that would piss me off if I saw that review.
And I got to tell you right away that Sin City, I do enjoy Sin City and I liked it, but there's times where I could see it felt like people on a soundstage to me.
Oh, yeah. But I mean,
I didn't get that in this film. I never felt like that. I was in the moment, you know?
And the fact that the entire movie was shot on a blue screen soundstage is just mind-boggling.
It's really awesome.
This is Sparta!
Oh, it's a soundstage!
I wasn't real happy with the score, but that's just nitpicking.
You know, I liked bits of the score. I thought it had energy, and other times, you know, it wasn't memorable.
Other times, it just sounded like video game music.
Oh, there we go with the video game.
Well, you know, I hate to say it. I hate to even say video game, because it just, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's I don't like dismissive comments like, oh, it's like a video game. I don't want to see it. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, don't watch it.
It's a terrific movie. I loved it. I loved its faithfulness. I loved how it expanded on it.
Bill, one thing I love is the big energy moments where he goes, tonight we dine in hell. And I'm like, yeah, I want to dine in hell too. It reminds me of like Kurt Russell in Tombstone. You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me. It's like, yeah, that's an awesome thing to yell, isn't it?
Yeah. More movies need those type of lines.
Yeah, I was trying to. Oh, there's also Gladiator. You know, unleash hell. You know, how wouldn't it be great one time in your life where you get to say something like that to like 5,000 dudes?
I think guys join the military just so they can say that.
Yeah, they don't get to say it though. But the thing that's so cool about this film is I love the idea of the underdog, 300 of the finest warriors against like thousands. And I really
tens of thousands.
And I got to say, this is probably one of my favorite films now, and I can't wait till DVD, can't wait to watch it in HD and all that. And
I can't even imagine what the HD DVD is going to look like.
I
got to
say, if you like Gladiator, Braveheart, and all those, and if you like comics, I think you'll love this film. I don't think it has the storyline like Braveheart or Gladiator does, because this is about the battle that they're doing. This isn't about what King Leonidas does, you know, before this battle. This is about the battle. This is what
it's all strictly.
Might sound sacrilege to some religious people, but I almost saw this movie as kind of like the Passion of the Spartans.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Passion of the Christ was more about the sacrifice and what happened, and so is this. There's no backstory. Or very little.
But so I'm going to say 300, loved it. I'm not giving it any stars.
Thumbs up. I you do can like give it a thumbs up if you liked it.
I'm not going to even do that, Steven. I'm just going to say I will own this in my DVD collection, and
hopefully
I will watch it
by the time
it's
out, you'll have a high-def DVD or something.
Yes. And you know what, Bill?
This is Mulberry!
Something like
we
that.
We should call Gerard Butler.
Sparta!
Yeah, you have reached the phone of J-Strom! You know, just like yelling. I would love that. Awesome. Okay, let's get into what's on our TiVos!
This is Sparta!
Okay, Foggy, we get it. It's Sparta. All right. I think Foggy liked the film, too. Hey, guys, Rosie's at it again, you guys. But this time it's not about the Donald. She's picked her new thing. It's American Idol. Okay, now, Bill, explain to me what this is about. Rosie's pissed off because some girl was nude online, and they didn't kick her off American Idol.
Partially nude. I don't think she
did full nude. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Antonella Barber, very hot young girl. There were pictures of allegedly of her giving a blowy to another guy.
A blowy?
That turned out, yes, a blowjob. A Hummer, a fellatio. Any of those ring a bell?
Yes, I know what that is. I've heard of that.
So, allegedly, it was her. It turned out it wasn't her. It was porn star from a porno, and that was dismissed. But then pictures showed up of her in a fountain with a wet T-shirt doing all kinds of poses, and those were her.
Now, here's the thing that Rosie's mad about. Some other chick was on American Idol before, and similar, and she got kicked off.
Well, the
Frenchie,
thing was,
the big
was
black girl.
The girl sent hers in to be posted on a pornographic website.
Oh, I gotcha.
Her the other girl's boyfriend posted them without her knowledge.
Yeah.
So she did they were personal photographs that got posted versus someone who did it on purpose.
Well, here's the thing, Steven.
Chick was actually on a porn site for big
to
women
get paid.
Oh, I got you. Well, here's the thing, guys. Rosie's calling racism. Let's check it out.
Oh, shit.
She is on the internet, right? Apparently in scantily clad.
Yeah,
sort
apparently
of
she was like in a wet T-shirt contest. Or okay. I don't know if it's really her.
And Frenchie also was kicked off the show, though, because she was on an adult-themed website. And why is it that Frenchie was kicked off, but this girl is not?
They
I think
really
it's racist.
About this
I really do. I think it's because she's black.
Really? You do?
That they kicked. Yes.
Is it because, you know, that Antonella, she's so just kind
hot.
Of...
It's because she's a porker.
Well, then it's waitist, too.
Exactly.
It's waitist and racist, you squooey wabbit. One girl's nude on the internet, she gets kicked off the show, and she's, you know, humiliated and disgraced. And like limps away with her tail between her legs, and the other girl's still on. Can't sing a note, by the way.
Well, here's the thing. American Idol did not like this, and first thing they did, they punished Rosie and The View. They decided, hey, let's not let them talk about American Idol on their show anymore. Let's not let them have access to any clips or anything like that.
You know, here's the thing that's sad. We're no longer given access to American Idol clips. They're apparently mad
at
us. They don't like us. When I say us, I really mean
don't
me.
No,
but
Rosie's opinion is Rosie's opinion.
Right,
maybe
I know.
Just Chiron it under her boobies.
Well, it started with the two special ed boys. It started there. And then my concern, my concern about Paula's, you know, possible... non-attentiveness, and then
you know what Rosie is just that gossipy bitch that talks about everybody, isn't she?
Yeah,
she is.
You don't like that pop culture zealot, Steven. I don't like what he's doing. He's a dick. He's like, you know what, Rosie? No more Nowhere Mulberry clips. What do you think of that, bitch?
He falls asleep all the time. He breathes real heavy.
Yes, exactly. Now, just so people know, here is Antonella on American Idol and what Simon has to say about her.
You're gonna find yourself some way, somehow.
Ah, my ears!
I feel for you because you've taken a lot of stick in the media. I think you've handled yourself well throughout.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone should be put in that situation. I do.
Oh, yeah. More power to you, babe.
I'm not gonna patronize you here. It wasn't your worst. We've heard you sound worse. But I just have a problem here, which is, you know, I just wish you could sing better.
Oh, that's nice of him, isn't it? So basically,
yeah, it's nice to wish for people to sing better.
I wish you had talent. Now
I wish you didn't.
Well, none of them there have talent because they're not writing their own songs.
I beg to differ, Steven. There's this homosexual named Blake, and he rocks.
Watch me now with the woodwind, and I said, come with the funky sounds to get you snowed for the show, and we'll mix the hip hop reggae.
You know, he should be kicked off just for singing 311.
This is what style we bring. Now it's morning, but last night's on my mind. There's something need to get off my chest.
Yes, another man's semen.
And Paul and I were just saying this, man. This is really current artists like yourself up here. I love the whole kind of like hip-hop kind of reggae thing.
Well,
that
was
hot, dude. I didn't even recognize the song, but I loved it, whatever it was. I loved it.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, that was real hot, wasn't it?
Randy Jackson is a producer of music, and he doesn't recognize music?
I guess not.
Asshole much?
Now, guys, no Veronica Mars this week. And I know we haven't been talking about Veronica. And I got to tell you, I have a deep, deep love for Kristen Bell. Nothing against her. But we just have too much to talk about on the show. I'm sorry, Bill, she's taken.
And the fact that it's horribly disappointing lately.
The last couple episodes
have been good, though.
I love the fact that they made her dad sheriff. I thought that was good.
It was a long time coming.
Yes, it was. But I don't know why it's on hiatus, but they replaced it with the Pussycat Dolls. Or the search for the new Pussycat Doll. Are you kidding me with these shows?
I saw a commercial for that.
Come on.
Isn't that Jonathan Anton's sister, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
What?
Yeah, she's on the... Because I remember on the show Blowout, she used to bring all the Pussycat Dolls in to get their hair done by her brother.
Exactly. So she's a Pussycat Doll?
She created it.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Yeah, exactly. So they're a very talented brother and sister duo there.
Bottom line is, you want to be dirty, or you want to be silky, or you want to be silky and dirty at the same time. Silky dirt, dude.
How is that? Are you sure that guy's not gay? Are you sure? Where the hell's Blowout? I don't want the Pussycat Dolls. I want Blowout back.
You need to go back on there.
And here's the thing, you guys. You watch this show and you're thinking, all right. Okay, it's going to be a stupid show, but it's going to be scantily clad women, right? Hot chicks. But here's the thing. For some reason, the Pussycat Dolls are such a hot thing that the girls are all nervous. They're all puking left and right, and they show these hot chicks vomiting. Let's check it out.
I'm feeling so sick. I feel like I'm going to Ralph throw up any minute.
I haven't ever.
The last 24 hours has been total chaos.
You'd really like
everybody's
this.
Mariana is sick. Chelsea, Natasha is sick. Eva is sick. Jasmine just got sick this morning. Angelia is sick. Melissa F.
It would mean something
sick.
We knew who any of those people
sick.
Are.
There's a few of us that
Vanessa
are sick.
Vanessa is sick.
There's not many of us.
And them being sick is making me sick.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Pussycat Dolls.
They've all got the slut virus.
Yeah, bring back Veronica Mars, please. It's some kind of cat disease they have, I guess. All the hairballs. They all have hairballs, I'm thinking.
They have toxoplasmosis.
Okay, Foggy, we get it, okay? Pussycat Dolls. Put two and two together. Yes. Okay, show's off the rails. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, The Apprentice, you guys. Did you guys check out The Apprentice? Awesome show this season. They're living in tents. They're living in mansions. They're going back and forth. There's this guy with crazy hair. He's got a soul patch. Where's this guy from? What country is he born in? I don't know. He talks weird.
Cats and dogs living together.
Yeah, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. And they have to do this production for a car. But anyway, let's skip past all that because no one really cares. All I care about is Mr. Trump, the Donald, fired a dude for saying white trash, jokingly. And the
guy said he himself was not Donald Trump.
Yeah, and the Trump didn't like that. So let's
Mr.
hear.
Mr. Trump, you're white trash.
I would love that. And the guy would get fired, but I would.
Mr. Trump,
would
your hairdo is white trash.
Let's see what happens.
Derek, can you ride in a go-kart?
That's the funniest part. I probably couldn't ride.
He said that at the time.
But no, we were 4 hours into the first day, and we hadn't had a theme yet. I was getting frustrated. I'm like, let's throw stuff out. And I'm like, how about go-kart just off the top of my head? And then later on, Christine said...
Yeah, but things shouldn't be just said off the top of your head.
No, and later on, Christine said, that doesn't convey luxury. And I said to Jen, I said, yeah, that probably does not convey luxury. I would like to do it, but I'm not the Lexus customer. I'm white trash. I only eat at restaurants with deep-fried appetizers. So I know I'm not the Lexus...
What do you mean you're white trash?
I'm just joking about that.
But what does that mean? You don't joke about that. What does that mean, you're white trash?
You
don't joke about
it.
Does that make you white trash? Do you feel you're white trash?
Sometimes
that's a pretty stinking statement.
I was a little,
don't you think that's a pretty bad statement about yourself?
No, not necessarily. I don't think people think
you're
serious.
It doesn't sound flattering.
Do you go around calling yourself white trash?
As a joke.
You think I want to hire somebody that's white trash?
No. And I say it as a joke sometimes.
I don't like it as a joke. You know what, Derek? You're fired.
Oh.
Bah, 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 bah.
Go back to your trailer.
I think that is so stupid for you to say. You're fired.
Okay.
Go. All
right.
Terrible.
It's terrible.
You shouldn't use that expression anymore either. How stupid can you be?
Exactly, Trump. And you know what's funny? As he was talking, I was thinking in my head, dude, just shut up. stop talking. Stop talking.
He is quite loquacious.
So many people... sorry, Vanessa?
I said he is quite loquacious sometimes. I knew he was going to end up getting himself in trouble.
I don't understand Spanish. I haven't taken that class yet. What was that again?
Loquacious. Exactly. Uh-huh. Talkative.
No, we're done talking about American Idol, Vanessa. Her name was Antonella. So anyway, he wasn't the only one to get fired, the gay guy. There was also someone else. Let's check it out.
Jennifer, you're fired.
And the show was over. So we'll just check it out next week. Sounds good.
Someone named Jennifer was fired.
Now, I know there was no Friday Night Lights.
But she wasn't white trash.
Yeah. There was no new Friday Night Lights this week, but there was one last week, and we hadn't talked about it yet. And it was a great episode, of course, as all episodes. Buddy Garrity is now living with the coach, or at least for that episode. Hilarity ensued. Yes, creepy. We've also got Julie hanging out with Tyra when she's not supposed to, and her mom sits on a glass table and has to go to the hospital. But the best part about the weighty scenes I love is when Tyra tells Julie's mom that I don't need you trying to help me because you've forbidden your daughter from seeing me. And she gives her a nice talk saying that she just cares about her daughter and her daughter's been getting in trouble lately. That was a good real scene. I love how they put something that's been done before into a real setting. And just like, it was kind of off at the beginning when Smash is woken up by his girlfriend, Waverly, who is like this really goody two-shoes girl, and she wants to sneak out and go to a pool skinny dipping and stuff. And I was even thinking in my head, why would she be doing this all of a sudden? This isn't like her character. You know, I was like, why would she do this? She has a mood disorder, and there's even this moment where she's talking to her dad, and he goes, hey, has she been acting weird or anything lately? And he's like, no. And you know he's like thinking, well, yeah, she was acting weird last night. But he's like, no, sir. He's like, you just let me know if she starts acting weird. And he's like, what the hell is he talking about? And then later on you figure out that she's got some major mood problems or emotional problems. Like the weird scene where they're talking about poetry and she starts reciting the poem and then she's like tearing up and crying in the restaurant.
That was really uncomfortable.
It was like, what the hell is going on? You could even seem like, okay, baby, let's calm down. She's like standing up
yelling.
And everyone's like, what is wrong with that girl? And then they just start making out, and it's just like crazy. But they do it in such a real way. They make the show so real. They really do. That's what I love about the show. But you've also got Jason Street. He's in Austin now. And Lila just shows up out of the blue because she's sad about her dad. And how much do you love the scene where she's like, my dad, he was cheating on my mom. And do you see any, like, remorse on Jason Street's face? He's kind of like, it
you
doesn't...
You did the same thing to me, baby.
Yeah, he doesn't care at all because he hates her dad, right? Mm-hmm. So he's not even, like, all that bummed out about it. But the best part about the thing is when you mix Jason Street's new friends with his girlfriend, and let's see what happens there.
Not to get you know, serious and business-like, but, I mean, you guys think I got a remote chance of starting?
No, whoa.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
You slow it down, man. You barely have the peewee staging now. Look, you might have a shot at beelining it if you make the team.
Oh, he'll make the team. He's the next quarterback.
Oh, thanks so much for that. I had no idea. Here I was thinking he's some candy ass that fell off a tricycle. let me just put this to you, Miss Garrity.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Football is not quad rugby.
Mm. Thank you for the enlightenment. Because you're right, no. No, it's not, is it?
Just what the hell are you trying to say?
Hurt back off. I think she was simply trying to say that Jason is a football star. Why wouldn't he want to start? Right, Lila? Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sweetie. I can take care of myself. Save your charity for those in need. Maybe Herc. You know what? No. While you're at it, why don't you go and tattoo someone else's fiance?
Oh, snap.
What I love about that scene... Oh, do you guys wonder why he's friends with Herc, first of all?
Yes.
Because the guy's a jackass. And I know he's a good friend, I guess, but he's also a pain in the ass. Like, I love
Black. That's why he uses that jackass as a defense because, for being...
Yeah, completely insecure. You saw how fast he was, like, digging at her, but she said, yeah, I know it's not football. And she's just staring at him. He goes, what the hell you... What do you mean by that? You know, he just immediately turns it around.
You know, she's just the type that is sheltered in this little town. Everybody, you know, Miss Popular, father's well-known.
And that's rich. The thing that's funny is when she comes all sad about her dad cheating and she's talking to her boyfriend who's paralyzed about it.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
That she cheated on with his best friend.
Yeah, it's just like, you really want me to, you know, of course he cares about her. It's like, this isn't really that big a deal, okay? You're a teenager and your parents might split up. Oh, boo-hoo. You know, it's sad and I'll give you a hug about it, but don't go all like, oh, I'm going to get drunk and be sad and stuff.
You love her? The cute tattoo girl, Jason.
Huh? No, I don't love her. What is she talking about?
That I've seen the cute tattoo girl before.
It's not funny, Jason. It's not funny.
Okay, Lila, Jesus. Why is she always... Everything's not funny to her.
She's very unstable.
Yeah, she does seem kind of scary.
Getting tattoos from sexy girls.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I love getting tattoos from sexy girls.
So, Friday Night Lights, I love
my
Friday Night Lights.
And getting hit in the face by a sucker punch.
Now, I want to ask you another thing, Bill. There's a part where they show up to Tyra's house, and Matt and Landry show up. And he's like, Landry's like, hey, Tyra, what's up? And he goes, cheers to Tyra. And he's like, I'm glad to be in her house and to all the strippers here. God bless this home or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I really think I made some headway with Tyra tonight. Do you think that there's a chance in hell that will ever bring them together? Because she doesn't even see him. He might as well be invisible. When he's in the room with her, he'll almost say something to her, and I don't even think she turns her head and looks at him. That's what I think is funny.
Well, I think he's just too scary looking for her.
Yeah, he's a... But I love Landry.
The greasy-haired, lonesome type.
And like, you know, when Landry walks into his scene, I'm like, all right, something's going to be good happen because he's so funny. And if you notice, they all but abandoned the third friend. Because it used to be...
Yeah, what happened to the third friend?
He got his ass beat by one of the football players, and we never saw him again.
Maybe he went into a coma.
Yeah, internal bleeding. He's dead. Friday Night Lights is gone again next week. God damn it. Bring it back! Bring
I
back
think
my FNL.
Friday Nights is racist.
I just have a problem here.
Shut up, Simon. Okay, Heroes, guys. We got two episodes of Heroes to encapsulate in 5 minutes. Let's do it. The Company Man episode where Matt Parkman and Nuclear Boy, they go to HRG's home, family home. I thought that was one of the best episodes ever of Heroes. And he's like, this guy must not care about much. All he's got is dog pictures. It's like, come on, it's Mr. Muggles. What are you talking about? But this whole thing, it's all HRG flashbacks a la 24 in a way. I mean, 24, a la Lost in a way, wouldn't you say?
Right.
They got the black and white thing happening, which is kind of weird watching something in HD in black and white in a way. I don't know.
It's very crisp when it's black and white. It's an interesting effect whenever you see something in black and white and high def.
What's strange is it turns out that HRG is working for Hero's dad. Not just him, but also, I guess the guy directly above him is Eric Roberts. As Andy would say, Manny! And I was even thinking that when he appears. I was like, oh, it's Eric Roberts, Manny! From Runaway Train. This episode, I thought, was really good. And unfortunately, I don't remember a lot of it.
No, it just really, it gave a great backstory of HRG coming into the group.
The invisible guy.
It's revealed that the invisible guy, played by Christopher Eccleston, is his partner. And
he was hiding someone.
Yes.
And you weren't allowed to hide anyone. Apparently, they're tagging all the heroes, right?
Yeah,
Almost like a Smallville. They're putting a chip. They're putting something in so they can track them, I guess, and they know where they are. Mm-hmm. I'm sensing LexCorp is involved. Crossover. Please don't do that. I'd rather it crossover with Lost than Smallville.
They're all 33.1.
No!
If we're lucky, a Nuclear Man could just vape Clark Kent.
Yeah. The coolest part about the whole show was when Nuclear Guy started going nuts and the house was falling apart, everything is flaming.
Yeah, you get shot.
And Claire sticks him with the thing and her body's all burnt and crisp and everything, and it shows her. That reminded me of like an X-Men comic where Wolverine gets fried. And it's just cool seeing her powers and her all healing. And it was in front of like all the townsfolk.
Yeah, and it was really cool when she came out. It was like burnt down to the muscle. It was really gross.
Yeah.
Just the way they did it.
Good
it was,
effect.
It was great effect, yeah.
And we also see that basically he has to put her in hiding. He has to send her off and also have his memory erased so Eric Roberts doesn't know what's going on there.
Yes.
And it looks like they're setting it up. Matt Parkman's going to take HRG's job, I think. Or he's going to start working for the same thing. Because cut to this new episode, and you have him working with this annoying girl who can shapeshift. Yeah, she's liquid metal. Knives and stabbing weapons.
Missy Peregrim, who's hot but can't act.
Okay, I want to say this right now. Her scenes are painful, okay?
Yeah.
Because
she's like has this cocky kind of bitch attitude, and it's not working, especially if you can't act out of a paper bag.
She's kind of like that other girl, the one who had the short butch diaper.
No, she is nothing like the other girl. The other girl can actually act.
Eden was great. How dare you? Eden was fantastic.
I'm sorry, she could not act.
No, she could act.
And she can't act.
Here's
what
it is.
She's a good actress.
This girl, Missy Peregrim, or what's her name? Candace?
Yeah, you got it right.
Candace, is that her name on the show?
Yes, something
she
like that.
She is Heroes Anna Lucia, I'm going to say right now, and she must die.
She has to be. They have to know that they made an enormous mistake with her, because her acting is like a line reading. It's horrible.
And she may have a hot ass, but she can't act worth a shit.
It's even worse is she's all covered up.
Yeah.
Like, if she was running around, like, when she was in that movie Stick It, and I actually own that movie because she's just hot in it. But if she was in, like, a gymnastics uniform the entire show, I would watch it, you know, like, be like, hey, she's terrific. She's the best actress ever.
Here's what
so
they're...
you guys look at that when a girl's in a gymnastics leotard?
No, here's what they're setting up. Okay.
When they're hot. Yeah.
Siler is going to get her power. He's going to be able to shapeshift. He's also going to get nuclear guy's power. Got it? When they show the vision of Peter going overload, that's Siler. Trust me. That's what's going to happen. I figured it out. I know everything.
You know what they're trying to probably set up with that is how he couldn't handle the woman's hearing powers.
Right.
He's having a hard time adapting to them. So if he takes
nuclear guy's power...
he'll just overload.
Yeah, and what I think is going to happen, he's going to somehow subdue Peter, and he's actually going to look like Peter because he's going to kill that Missy girl. Thank God. I hope that's what happens. But anyway, I'm jumping way ahead here. That's just a theory, my hero's theory, that I'm going to videotape myself and send it to NBC, by the way, if you guys saw that. It's like, here's I like heroes, and here's what's going to happen. It's my theory. And by the way, put me on TV so I'll never get a date. But there was also the thing here where I thought it was a good little switcheroo where HRG has no memory, and then he goes back to his wife, and his wife remembers everything. She's like, you told me to pretend like I didn't have a memory. He's like, huh? Because he doesn't remember anything. That was good stuff. We also had...
And they used that against him to...
Right, and that scene where it reveals that it's the chick had it called before it happened. I was like,
yep,
he's talking to the shapeshifter. Oh, shapeshifter girl! That's a liquid metal sound, by the way.
And then the scene's ruined by her acting.
She's like, well, it looks like you were busted. I am a robot. I can't act worth a shit. Sorry, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
So she was the girl in Small Wonder.
Yeah, Vicky! We found what happened to Vicky! Awesome! I love that show.
These kids would know that show.
Danger, danger. My name is Anakin. My shitty acting is ruining Saga.
Exactly.
You know how painfully true that line is. M'lady.
My favorite line, I know we're way off on it, but Attack of the Clones is on recently, and when Anakin says, I find your presence soothing. It's like, who the hell could say that line? Really? I find your presence soothing?
That's the first thing that pops to my mind, you know. When I'm with you, I find your presence soothing.
What the hell? No one has ever said that line of dialogue in any galaxy, anywhere.
This is the sort of pickup line that gets you slapped.
Yeah, I would run or slap the person.
I find your presence soothing. That would have gotten you killed in Sparta.
I would say I find you
like
creepy.
This is Sparta!
Okay, kicked down a well.
Yeah, you get kicked down a bottomless pit.
I think they would have known you were going to say that as a baby and then dropped you in that pit and let you die.
Yes, they would have known you were mutilated from birth. This one mutilates the language. Throw him down the well.
It's not funny.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're upsetting Lila, you guys. Remember when we were talking about how stupid Mohinder is, that he hadn't figured out that it's Siler?
Right.
He's like, hey, Zane, you're acting crazy, but okay, you're my friend. But no. He had it all figured out. And I love this scene where he twists the tables on him. He turns the tables. He's like, you're not Zane at all. You're Siler. Busted. And he's like, he got some kind of drug. And
he turned into a British Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Busted. You're fired.
You're white trash, Siler. You're fired. No, but seriously.
Well, you know what? It kind of showed that he wasn't stupid, but then it showed how incredibly stupid he was by forgetting how long the paralyzing effect lasts.
And remember, what Siler does is he turns the valve off.
Yeah.
He goes, you didn't notice I turned the valve off. And he goes, oot, oot, you know, where it's...
That's like if he was paralyzed, how did he do that? How did he turn...
Because it doesn't paralyze your mind. It just paralyzes your reflex.
What I would have loved to have seen, a great revenge scene, he's like, I'm removing your brain, Siler. And he's got it on a frying pan, just like in Hannibal. He's like, you killed my father. Mm. This is a tasty brain. He's eating it. And he's like just sitting there like Ray Liotta. How great a TV would that be? Seriously.
Just pull out the right hemisphere or the left hemisphere. Yeah.
I just took away all your artistic skills. Oh, man, I can't draw anymore. There's no way of keeping in the lines now when you color. So anyway, that didn't work in Hannibal, but it would work on Heroes. But let's check the scene out.
I can't feel my fingers.
Mr. Kirari, it induces paralysis of the brain. Which means you can't control your abilities.
See? He can't control his abilities. How did he turn it off for the spawn?
Because he could.
That's what I was saying.
You still expect me to believe you're Zane Taylor?
I'm Zane Johnson.
Zane was killed 3 days ago. The same day I met you. And you thought you were so clever giving me his DNA.
Zane Taylor's a flaming homosexual. You didn't once look at me bum.
Off his work.
He had to die because of it.
Let me
God hates
it.
Fags.
Tell me your name. Say it. Say it. Say it.
Siler!
What?
To do with a parasite. Kill it before it kills again.
They're looking at internet porn.
Look at it! Look at it!
It's the both of you.
I'm a scientist. He had no idea what you were.
He knew. He might not have admitted it, but after all, we were making so much progress together. Why would he stop?
You know nothing about my father!
My father's research! How do you know about it? And
I don't, but I claim to. Your father made very good chicken vindaloo.
And then Mohinder tries to shoot Siler, and the bullet's just hovering there. He's like, oh, you turn the tables on me back! Damn you, Siler! And I love the scene where Peter shows up and Mohinder's stuck to the ceiling. And he grabs, he throws Peter against the wall, and he starts to cut into his head, and you see his emo bangs get cut off. What is this? It's very upsetting. Did you get upset about the emo bangs?
Yes. I don't think that's right. I think that's very, very wrong.
So basically, when Heroes... Okay, here's another thing. The show ends on April 23rd. Heroes... No! But I knew they were going to take a break. I'd already read about it, so it didn't surprise me at all.
My name is Siler!
Oh, my God.
So when does it come back?
It comes back April 23rd, I believe.
April 23rd?
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. Yes,
comes back in April, so we'll be happy when it's back. Because it did... Everyone ended on a cliffhanger, didn't they? Hero and Ando. Ando shows back up. They get the sword. They travel, to, the
travel
future,
to the future.
And it's decimated. It's post-apocalyptic. It's like the Road Warrior.
You can see the cranes in the background rebuilding, so...
Right, right.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Steven was watching it in the background, and he was like, you can see cars driving in that shot. And I looked, and you could. And you could see people walking. So even though it's a bleak future, there's people still commuting.
Still
Yeah, they're still going to work. Yeah. You know, the going to the subway, making sandwiches.
Here's the exciting thing: is I heard a rumor that they're going to do an episode 5 years later on the show.
Yeah,
and that's going to be cool. This show is a comic book, isn't it? It's great. I can't wait till it comes back. We also have Nikki. She's trying to help Nathan. She takes back over Jessica's body temporarily. That's some
still
good
mildly
stuff.
Irritating, but still hot.
But here we go, Bill. The guy from Entourage is in the show, Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we were wrong.
Shocking. Everyone online thought it was going to be the actor who played the architect in The Matrix.
What the hell was with that? I called bullshit on that the moment I saw it.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were trying to imply.
Ego vis-a-vis. Yeah, I'm glad that wasn't it.
Your five prior incarnations.
Yeah. It's like, not so much. That guy's not going to act again, okay? He's the architect. Because seriously, if they brought him in, it's like, oh, it's the architect. I mean, it just pulls you right out of it. But instead, they bring in...
I still wish it was Mark Hamill.
That would have been awesome.
It should have been William Shatner.
I wish it would have been Sherman Hemsley.
Don't you
Sherman
understand.
Hemsley?
Yeah, that would have been great.
Sherman Hemsley. Man, that would have been awesome.
Son of a...
Yes, I love Mr. Jefferson. So that's Heroes this week.
Good episode.
It was good episode.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. And, it was a good cliffhanger.
I can't wait till Peter kicks some Siler ass. I hope it happens. I hope he's.
I think
just...
this is when Peter gets his scar. The future hero. Was
right.
About.
He loses his bangs but gains an awesome scar. Hopefully it's like a lightning bolt, like Harry Potter or something.
I think exactly. I know what'll happen because Isaac was painting that picture of decapitated heads, and he probably notices it as Mohinder's apartment and runs there and interrupts just in the nick of time.
And you know what I can tell you right there? That's going to be the Candace character, Missy Peregrine. She's going to look like Isaac when she gets killed.
Oh, and gets her head cut off.
Trust me, that's what's going to happen.
Because Isaac was dead.
And Siler's going to think that he just got his future abilities, but all of a sudden he can shapeshift or something. What? I'm sitting in on the writers' meetings, guys. That's all I can say about it. I'm probably wrong about all this, too.
When she would shapeshift, it was like the whole room would change.
Yeah, it's like... It reminded me of... It's like, why does this look like Ashton Kutcher going to the past in that...
Butterfly effect.
That's what it looks like. She's got her diary. I'm looking back when I was a little girl and...
I'm going to kill myself in the womb. So none of this
I'm going to wrap an umbilical around my neck. So that's Heroes, guys. Let's go ahead and talk some Lost real quick. Now, let's quickly talk about the Hurley-centric episode where Cheech was his dad, and it was all about having hope and getting a VW bug van started.
And driving it around in a circle once it
starts. Yeah, this was like the comedic episode, I guess, the one that kind of make us happy and stuff.
This reminds me of the first season a lot.
I did think that Sawyer was really funny in this episode, when he gets his beer and they're talking to Roger, the headless corpse guy.
Whenever you go, oh, there's a head in here. Oh, that's Roger.
Roger Workman.
It's like, his name's not Roger Workman. He's a workman, a maintenance man.
Blockhead.
And the stuff where he teaches Jin the three things you need to learn to say to a woman, like, I'm sorry.
You're right, and you don't look fat in those jeans.
Yeah, that's all he needs to know. Sawyer, that was very sexist.
You sound like Donald Trump.
What? How does it sound like Donald Trump? This is Donald Trump, Vanessa.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's just the same kind of accent.
Jennifer, you're fired.
That's right, Jennifer.
Vanessa, you're fired.
No. White trash.
Hey, Vanessa.
I love the whole kind of like hip-hop kind of reggae thing.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think of this episode?
It was okay.
It was light fare. It was fine. Yeah. I mean, I didn't hate it or anything.
I like it better than the ones where they're trapped by the others. It reminded me a lot of the first season, honestly.
And you know what? I don't always get upset like, hey, where's our answers this week? But I do get annoyed when it's
weeks
now I'm more
weeks.
Confused than I was before the episode began. Like this week's episode, when they find the eye patch dude, I'm not sure what was answered on there. We do know what the wire's going to the ocean, where if the guy was telling the truth, it's an underwater sonar. That's what we know about that.
And then their wires going back to some barracks.
Right. And we do know that they had a lot of notebooks, like food drop protocol, stuff like that. He said that all the scientists had to fight the hostiles. And I didn't want to fight, so they let me stay here. Which turns out to be BS, because he is one of the others. But was what he said true, though? He said that the scientists came and the hostiles had already been here for a long time, and they had to eventually have an uprising against them, and they all the scientists got killed. So that would mean all the others right now, like Henry and all of them, they were already there, and the scientists and all that. Maybe Juliet, remember she said she's been here 3 years?
She showed up expecting some scientists, but the others had already taken over. Maybe something like that. Just a little lost theory.
I'm not really thinking too deep into it.
Right.
At
I'm
this
just,
point,
because
I'm just
the
like
writers
so
aren't thinking that deep.
Yeah, I'm disillusioned.
Now, Bill, would it be surprising if I told you that the writers hadn't even written the next episode yet?
No.
Let's check out some Lost.
Are you sure it's completely isolated?
I've circled the house. There's nothing but jungle surrounding it. Here.
I love Saeed.
That dish still work?
Satellite dish of that size with that broadcasting capabilities.
We get all the HD channels.
Danielle, you once mentioned the radio tower.
I just don't have a high-def television.
Even Skinamax? Even Skinamax, Saeed?
But no, I do have an Atari 2600.
On a video feed from the Pearl Station.
Chessmaster 1000.
Yeah, that was a total homage to The Thing, we man. With Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm. What's this for?
If I'm unarmed.
I have a TI-99.
In case he is threatened, then cover me from
don't
here.
You love Tandy?
In Iraq, we have Commodore
Where are you
VIC-20s.
Going? I have no interest.
Military computer.
I
would you like to
island.
Wait 30 minutes to play Ghostbusters? Avoided.
Did you guys like how they brought Rousseau? And she's like, I'm going to go hang over there. There's no point to have brought me, but I'm going to go sit over there.
You're not needed. Just sit over there to the side.
And I love the scene. He goes, I won't be a threat if I'm unarmed. So I'm going to go, bam, get shot. Yeah, that worked out really well for you, Saeed. What's going on? What's going to happen? Whoa! Ow! And Saeed's dead. So I love on TV shows when you get shot, and it, even if you're winged. I'm sorry, if I get a paperclip, it hurts the rest of the day. You're telling me you get a shot in the friggin' arm, and that thing's not throbbing and weighing you down all day, and you're not going to go into shock? I think that would happen. But, you know, I know this isn't real, so let me just calm down.
Well, your first 30 minutes, it's all adrenaline. And right. then after that, then yeah, exactly. You're right.
I think I'm going to pass out.
Now. Right.
But here's the best thing about the show. I loved the flashback. I thought it was really well done with Saeed and the woman who recognizes him from torturing her, pouring grease on her hands or something. She's all scarred.
Hot grease, hot
and
oil.
He won't admit to it. And they're like, just admit it. You know, and they're beating him and torturing him. And he doesn't want to. And the poor lady, she has this whole thing about how she saved a cat from being tortured. And the cat's now her companion. But
and the cat's also on the island.
Yes. Yeah, was that the same cat?
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Don't lie.
I'm sorry. I'm ruining
you're a liar.
That's another thing we're going to argue for years to come, you guys. Was that the cat? But he admits it. He says, yes, I did torture you. You've haunted me and stuff. Some people, I believe that he tortured her right away when he says that. He did. Mm-hmm. And he's crying and he feels bad about it. People online, this is what I mean, he just said that so they'd let him go. He didn't really torture her. But do you guys think that he really did torture and finally admitted
sure.
it?
Sure,
yeah.
That's what he did. He was a torturer. Why wouldn't he have tortured her?
Exactly.
He didn't want to get killed.
Saeed would never do that.
He's
a nice guy.
I don't torture women. I just make love to them.
When the episode started with Saeed...
That would be torture.
When the episode started with Saeed, I almost expected the camera to pan to Saeed, and he goes... Oh, wait, I'm in this episode? Well, gee, thanks, guys. You rolled me into an episode? Gee whiz! Hey, I'm still acting?
When did he turn into Triumph? He's so comic.
I torture people by rubbing my greasy locks all over.
But seriously, Saeed's just been staying in the background for most of the season so far. Okay, the whole time this guy is in the other room, Locke's playing chess computer, did that get on your nerves a little? Like, is he really like, okay, everything's clear, I'm going to just play on this computer?
Right.
It didn't seem in character stupid. For him. It really did not seem in character for
no.
him.
No.
I knew his curiosity, but it was just a game.
Why wouldn't he be downstairs looking at the, you know, the records?
Yeah, because he's interested in all that Dharma stuff, including once they get in a big fight and they have the eye patch guy tied up, he still goes back to the friggin' computer.
Yeah. And why would he ever press 7-7 if it says people have intruded? You know, even I knew it was going to blow up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Like, oh, by the way, John, explosives. There's 20 pounds of C4 underneath the building. Well, let's check out what happens here.
I could see you didn't find anything worth taking.
Actually, I just played that silly chess game again. And now,
I realize why you didn't want me to beat it.
Meaning what?
Whoa! It explodes things! 7-7, a new number.
What have you done, John? That place was our one hope of communication with the outside world!
The computer said if there was an incursion by the hostiles, I should enter 7-7. So I entered 7-7.
Okay, well, thanks, John.
Dumbass.
Yeah, dumbass.
That's really stupid.
Yeah, so that was Lost this week. I do love the no reruns thing. I love it's a new episode again this week.
Yeah, that's the best thing about Lost in 24 is no reruns.
Right.
Thank God.
And you know what? Let's briefly on 24. I like 24 and all that, but can you believe Jack goes back to another consulate, Bill?
I know, that's what I said. I was like, okay, you just spent 3 years in a Chinese prison
and this
for
time
into a consulate.
He breaks into the Russian consulate this time.
And then cuts off the ambassador's finger with a cigar clip.
Yeah, right. I love Jack tortures this guy and he cuts off one of his pinkies to tell
awesome.
Him. It's a lot of great stuff. President Logan's back from last season.
Yes, he's still bearded.
And I love Morris, the computer tech guy, Chloe's friend. He crawls back in the bottle. He's drinking again. He buys this pint of whiskey or something. I just love how he's like, he like he just drinks the whole bottle and then he's like, bleh!
Yeah.
And then later on, Bill, they show him with the same flask. It's like, didn't he drink the whole thing? And
I thought he poured out the rest that he didn't drink.
But he has a whole new flask.
It's
like, what the hell?
Yeah. Maybe he went outside and spooned up the vomit that and put it in the flask.
Oh, man, that guy is a major alcoholic.
The alcohol.
So, I mean, I love 24. There's not much to talk about. I really feel like what's happening in an episode, they're stretching it out.
Yeah. Morris likes his fifths.
I'm going to say this season feels really stretched out to me.
It is.
Let's go ahead and get into some BSG. We didn't talk about the chief strike, form a union type episode. That was fine, I guess. I mean,
it's a filler episode.
It was a means to show that it really sucks living in that universe. Here's one thing, Bill. When we think about Star Wars or even Star Trek, it's just like, wow, it'd be so cool to live in the spaceships and, you know, Jedi or be a Starfleet officer. When you watch BSG, it's like, I don't want to live in that world at all. It sucks. Yeah. It sucks. I don't want to be a Viper pilot. I don't want to be
especially them because they are undermanned. Mm. You know, they've got limited resources, so they have to kind of make everything work.
Yeah, and you never get time off. When you do, or you're just going to sleep in a room with about 50 other people. It just really sucks. And you could say the show is realistic in that way, but I definitely wouldn't want to live in that world. I want to live in Star Wars or Star
Trek.
You could
kind of see where why they chose to live on New Caprica.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
it really sucked otherwise.
Yeah, it's like,
then there was a Starbuck episode, Starbuck centric, which was really weird. We're getting to the mystical stuff again. Is Starbuck destined to be is she the one? Is she Neo, like in the Matrix? Is she the chosen one? She is the chosen one.
She draws
her father's work.
Circles with colors and butterflies.
Yeah, she draws rainbows, but full circular.
Lord. She's special.
Now, like Heroes, like I'm telling you guys, I know the future with Heroes. I'm an oracle, much like
300.
You're an elderly black woman?
Yeah. I'm like a elderly chain smoking black lady who
you're a writhing.
And I morph into another black woman by the third one. I don't know what happened there. I guess I died or something.
Yes.
But anyway, I really think at the end of the episode, let's just go ahead and skip. I know everyone wants to talk about this. Starbuck dies, right? She blows up. Her ship blows up or whatever. She didn't blow up. She flew through a wormhole.
Yep.
She ejected.
I don't even care if she
ejected.
You
know, like whenever in Back to the Future,
an explosion.
Yeah, there's a this explosion with the fire tire marks. And
yeah.
I think this was the same thing because if you look at the way the explosion was, it kind of was centered, but it moved forward.
Yeah, it was like it was their stylish choice of showing what happened. They wanted to fool us. They want to fool everybody. You know that's what they want to do. But I don't think for a minute she's dead. She went through a wormhole.
I mean, I was watching something, and they were saying, you think they would kill one of the main characters? You're fracking crazy.
And it's funny, because some people are like, I've read everywhere, like, I'm not watching the show anymore. They've gone off the deep end. This is BS.
It wouldn't even matter if they... It's like, hey, calm down
for 1 minute. Just, like, let a week pass before you need... Oh, my knee's jerking! Oh! You know, it's just like, oh, worst show on television. How could they do this?
Would it really matter if she died?
Not so much. And here's what I hope.
Quite frankly, I cherish it because her scenes irritate the hell out of me.
Right, and that's what they did. This is what's genius what the writers did. They made her leave all of her baggage behind. So when she comes back next season or whatever, she's a completely different person. She's still got her, cocky grin and all that, but she's left all that baggage with her mom. Her mom was a raving bitch! Are you kidding me? Good Lord, what a bitch! It showed that she left it all behind. She let all that crap that's bothered her whole life, oh, whammy, all that, I hate, you know, people all do that, oh, well, I could have done things so much different. She left all that back, so she's a completely new character, and that's genius. They clean the slate off, plus she's going to find a closer way. I don't know if they're going to discover the Milky Way or what, but they're going to find some star that's familiar to us, Alpha Centauri, something. That's going to help them, that where you know they're close, it's going to settle off. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think she's dead. Maybe she's one of the final five. But there was something I was telling Steven. The final five, I'm starting to think they're not Cylons, they're humans. Think about this. Why would the Cylons all of a sudden, who are like servants of man, they're robot warriors, why would they get a collective thought all of a sudden and think, it could have easily been five humans who are like, you know what, let's start over. Let's have an apocalypse. Let's go somewhere else, the 13th colony. That could have been caused by man easily. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think they're almost trying to set up the Cylons as these like overly heady, superior feeling beings, if they're not already.
Right.
But there's just, you know, like how wrong they are.
And you almost see they're childlike, too, the way they bicker amongst each other. How much mm-hmm. would a mind screw it be with the Cylons if in the end they find out, you know what, the whole time who we thought was God was just these five humans.
The five humans that created us.
Yeah, it's just theory. So what I think is funny about all these shows, Heroes, Lost, and everything, we got to come up with theories about the whole thing.
You know, well, that's the only way we can justify the storylines.
And you know what? That's okay. I don't mind that because we had stuff like 24, Friday Night Lights. They're just straightforward, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, I read on, I think it was almost his site, that, you know, at the end of the episode when he takes that model ship and he throws it?
Yeah.
That was on loan from a museum. It was worth $100,000, and he didn't know it, and he destroyed it for that scene. And
good money spent because he was terrific in that scene. I got misty-eyed.
That scene was incredible.
The producer's like, oh my God.
That scene was excellent. One thing you know when an actor, what you see them doing is true feelings. It's real. Mm. And that scene was real. When you see someone like Missy Peregrine on Heroes, it's like, there's nothing she's doing that's real. Maybe the time she, like, picked her nose in one scene, that was real, because her nose itched or something, but...
Almost went to a really dark place for that scene, and you could tell, because there was no onion used there.
What I love is he's meticulous. He's got the thing. He's trying to put it on. He's trying to make it perfect. Everything's real delicate. Then he's just like, and just smashes the whole thing. That's the way I feel putting together models, by the way. The glue gets everywhere, and it's just like,
and you
smash
start getting lightheaded.
Forget this stupid VW Jetta. Shoot and smash. But
I can't put on this convertible top.
But I got to tell you, I don't hate BSG. I'm not angry about this. Starbuck needed an overhaul. They need to change things. And there's shows that I love that change things up, like Alias, Season 2, SD6 is gone. Shows that change things up and trick it up. You got to challenge the audience. Some people are going to get pissed. Some people might not. Some people go with you. They're in there for the journey or whatever. Like if Heroes next season, all of a sudden the series starts and there's like people you don't recognize, would you hang around a couple of weeks to see what they're doing here?
Absolutely,
or would you go like...
Well, I would hang around only because of their track record.
Yeah,
I
mean, people forget about that. It's like, man, have we not earned any loyalty with you? Yeah, but seriously, anyway. So that was BSG this week. Anybody have anything to add once again?
I liked this episode. So
I liked the last 10 minutes of the episode. The rest of it, I just really, the whole Starbuck thing is wearing on me.
I thought that Leoben, he was rocking the stick up here in this episode, wasn't he? Majorly.
You know, that also that Leoben looks like Daniel Craig.
Yeah, like he did have a Daniel
times.
Craig.
I was like, hey.
Oh, how great was that scene where she's painting in the loft and she's in her underwear. Then all of a sudden her and Leoben just start going at it in the paint.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta give them credit for the ass cleavage.
Yeah.
There. And
I'm going to say,
like, whoa, hey.
I thought that scene was pretty hot. That was a good scene. Good stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But tell me the truth, Vanessa. Would you go out with Leoben on a date? Let's do the news!
Just have a problem here.
All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
All right, in Folsom, California, the mother of a 13-year-old boy was arrested for allegedly driving her son to fight with another boy, then cheering him on as he struck his smaller opponent. Police say the mother shouted down another woman who tried to break up the fight across from Sutter Middle School on Monday.
She shouted down?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you stop that fight! It's terrific!
Sadistic. A student caught the whole scene on video. Renee Ann Honold, I think it is, 37, of Folsom, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of two felonies, endangering the life or health of a child and criminal conspiracy, as well as the delinquency of a minor, a misdemeanor.
Man, that's a brutal fight for little kids.
Her son was cited for suspicion of misdemeanor battery. In my
suspicion?
8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, because
we suspect you beat the shit out of this kid.
Well, it's always like,
it on tape.
Even if they have, you know, complete evidence, like total evidence that someone did it, they have to say alleged until they're found guilty.
Ah,
so.
Yes.
In my 8 years, I have never seen anything like this, Officer Kurt Knudsen said.
Knudsen.
You can hear her on the tape shouting, "Hit him! Hit him!" The kid is throwing some serious punches. Gail Williams, who was parked nearby waiting to pick her son up, said she tried to intervene as Honold's son pinned the other boy down and hit him. I thought she, Mrs. Honold, was coming to help me, but then she told me to mind my own business. She
One
was
of my
out of control.
Testicles has enlarged.
Her rage put me in defensive mode. Knudsen said the fight was brief and neither boy was seriously injured. Both boys were suspended for 5 days. Kim Williams, the mother of the boy who was beaten and who is no relation to the witness, said it was not fair to suspend her son. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think my son had a choice but to take part in the fight. Even if he kept walking, this mother would have kept after him.
What the
why
hell?
Was,
well,
why
what,
was
if,
he
what if he had done something to, I say, provoke the fight?
Yeah.
You know?
But still, he didn't throw the first punch.
But still, he provoked a fight,
sure,
so that
was...
would make him the same to be suspended. You know what I'm saying?
Little prick.
Shouldn't don't they just, aren't you supposed to
what if he was
either side? When
what if he was bullying him, you know, and you get him off site and he's really not a tough bully or something, you know?
Right. Maybe they should have just gave him a timeout.
Well, by the sound of it, the way the mother is, I seriously doubt that her son was ever bullied. He probably is the bully. Because, I mean, look at the way she is. She probably bullies her own son.
Exactly, Vanessa.
Yes.
Dr. Vanessa.
Crazy. All right. A middle-aged New Zealand woman rang police to report a theft of cannabis plants she had been growing in buckets at her North Island home. The crying woman told a constable at the police station in the city of Napier the plant theft was the fourth from her property in 4 years.
I'm so wasted!
The woman, 45, lamented someone had again snuck into her property at night to steal her three carefully nurtured marijuana plants. I'm a good person. I'm sick of these lowlifes stealing my things, the unnamed woman told the police. Senior Sergeant Mal Lockery told local media late Friday the officer found it hard to stop smiling and laughing as the woman gave details of the theft over the phone. A community constable who visited her home to take the details of the theft had also warned her that her horticultural pursuits would have legal consequences.
Wow! But the police
did decide not to take any action against her.
Well, how could they if there was no evidence of it? So.
Yeah.
Well, she admitted it. I mean, well,
so what? I could go and say admit something that I don't have.
True.
Yeah, it's like if someone said, "Hey, I killed somebody. You got to find the body." Could they arrest you, or they have to find the body first?
Yes, that's a felony. Okay.
What, admitting murder whenever you didn't do it?
Vanessa has a degree in criminology.
Yeah, she's a doctor.
Like CSI before.
She went to ITT Technical Institute for criminology.
Oh, yes.
All right, here's one for all you men who've gone through a divorce. A 43-year-old German decided to settle his imminent divorce by chainsawing his family home in two and making off with half of it in a forklift truck. Police in the eastern city of Sonneberg said on Friday the trained mason measured the single-story submarine, which was some 26 feet long and 6 meters wide, before chainsawing.
I'm just
going to
sit here drooling over my boxes.
Through the wooden roof and the walls.
When rationale takes over.
Yeah. The man said he was just taking his due, but I don't think his wife was too pleased. After finishing the job, the man picked up his half with a forklift truck and drove to his brother's house, where he has since been staying. So he knew his wife was going to get half, so he decided to take his half of the house. Classic. I think it was probably a little bit of rage.
Or stupidity.
Yeah, I don't think that guy's a very intelligent person.
Hey, man!
No, obviously.
Well, anger always spurs ignorance.
That's
so.
I'm just guessing here.
All right. An accused child molester cut off his electronic monitoring bracelet, then took a limousine to Chicago to appear on the Jerry Springer Show.
Whoa. I thought you were going to say he went to pick up a hot little girl or something.
Ah, a judge set bail Friday. A judge set bail $50,000 for Mario Sims, 21, who had been awaiting trial on 2004 charges of child enticement and first-degree sexual assault of a child.
Do the Mario!
A significant bond is legally necessary given the fact he has absconded, admittedly for one of the more unique reasons I've ever heard, my time on the bench, the judge said. According to the court records, Sims had been out of jail about 3 weeks when he cut off the bracelet and missed a court date September 6th. His defense attorney at the time, Domingo Cruz, told the judge his client was seen getting into a television show's limousine. Sims appeared on an episode of the show that aired during the fall. A TV.com website teaser for it said, "Outrageous nuptials. Returning guest Mario is a proud father and is ready to marry his baby's mama, who's also his half-sister."
Awesome.
First of all, this show's still in the freaking air. Who the
hell
watches
it? Who the hell watches it?
Roll down.
Exactly.
Is that guy from The Apprentice, the white trash guy?
I mean, seriously, who the hell's still watching Jerry Springer? Do you remember when all they would do was fight on the show, and then it was just ridiculous, and then they stopped the fighting? And who the hell's watching?
Well, they stopped the fighting because people were getting hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, lawsuits.
Yeah, they were getting arrested.
I've heard that
Lurch
they actually
watching Jerry Springer.
They encourage now. They like they tell the guests backstage, "Hey, if you want to get
physical, they always did that.
They've been doing that for years.
Yeah,
that's the producer's job. You know,
yeah, try to get him pissed off.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Would you ever? Okay, let's say you got a call from the producer from Jerry Springer Show. They're like, "Hey, your wife wants you to be on the Jerry Springer Show." I would freaking stay away. It's like either she's cheating on me or she's now a lesbian or something.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
why would you ever be involved with someone that would approach the Jerry Springer Show?
That's
to
what
begin
I'm saying
with.
Is why would anybody agree to go on the show? Like, there's some surprise. You know what it's going to be? Either they're gay, or they've been cheating on you, or some crap like that. It's
worst episode ever.
All right, and finally, here's idiot of the year: a man who started a small fire while cooking methamphetamine drove to a Walmart to buy a fire extinguisher when he couldn't put out the flames.
I think you're insane.
Jonathan Zalatel, 19, was greeted by Maricopa County deputies when he returned to his condominium late Tuesday. The flames had been extinguished by a sprinkler system, and arriving firefighters found a small meth lab in the closet.
Nice.
A toaster being used to cook the drug had caught fire. Zolotel tried putting it out with water and window cleaner before he decided to go buy a fire extinguisher.
Because he didn't have any baking soda in the house.
Booked on suspicion of manufacturing dangerous drugs, possession of chemicals and equipment to manufacture dangerous drugs, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of marijuana and criminal damage.
Why can't they just have, like, one thing, like being really freaking stupid?
Yeah, they
and that just encompasses all charges.
Well, we would have to build a whole island for those people.
They do multiple charges, but in case something falls through, then they can get them on other charges.
I know, Steven. I was making a joke.
Yeah, you kind of ruined the joke of Steven.
But thank you. I'm really glad you explained that to us.
Oh, and just a side note, in case you're really a big Boston fan, you know, the group, the lead singer died.
Oh, more than a beer. What? He died?
Yeah. He's no longer a jukebox hero. It's a casket hero.
That's a genius song, by the way.
Something Dapp or something?
No, Brad Delp.
Brad Delp.
Oh.
They're still investigating his death.
Now if Steve Perry would drop dead,
no!
The world would be a better place.
Oh, Sherry, oh, man, I should try out for American Idol.
That's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thanks for doing news this week.
In a moment.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God!
Yes, yes,
shrill.
Thank you very much. Okay.
I love the whole kind of like hip hop kind of reggae thing.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. All right,
Bill. Surprised he didn't get through to the next round.
Are we going to go right into the DVDs?
Yes, we are. Let's do some DVDs.
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, and standard definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah! DVDs, baby!
This is Sparta!
I understand.
Thought it was just the DVDs.
Meaning what?
Feeling I'm about to explode.
Man.
It's not funny, Jason.
Oh, sorry, Lila.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs this week?
All right, these are DVDs for March 13th, 2007. We're going to start off with a really interesting Korean horror film called Bloody Reunion.
It's not funny.
All right, Lila.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
In fact, it's quite brutal and gory.
Like all of them are.
Go and
yeah.
They have.
I really don't need to get into the story because it really doesn't matter. It's typical horror kind of thing, but in Korean, it's elementary school classmates meet their teacher 16 years later, and the gathering turns into a nightmare.
What country of origin was this film?
Korea. But it's really brutal and nasty. These Koreans are really sick and twisted. So if you like gory horror films,
cocky
you might
parties.
You might want to check that out. Next DVD is Bosom Buddies, the first season.
Oh, yes.
You need your Peter Scolari fix. First season.
What?
Yes.
Awesome, Kip and Henry.
Yes, you can celebrate the life of Wendy Jo Sperber.
I love Wendy Jo.
Do they show that anymore? Do they show that in rerun on any Nick at Night or anything?
Look on your TiVo, Vanessa.
Yeah,
that's the easiest way to find out.
I didn't know if you knew off the top of your head.
No, they used to. I don't know if they still do anymore.
I'm going to tell you guys something. Bosom Buddies kicked ass. Great show.
What always cracked me up about the show is
great theme song.
They used the Billy Joel song, but they had someone else sing it.
Right.
And it was like a shorter version of My Life. It was just weird.
You know what I never understood? I love the show, but do they really think they were women? I mean, come on.
I know.
They didn't look like chicks.
Well, Peter Scolari was hot.
Yeah, he was. And he's what?
He had a very large
Dante's Inferno, but
always like the moo-moo dresses that they would wear.
I could be wrong. Don't get me wrong. Oh, sorry.
I definitely have to say that Bosom Buddies was way before its time. It was, I mean, drag.
It was a great show.
It was a funny show.
And you know what? I could still watch that show now.
Sure.
Awesome.
Donna Dixon was supposed to be the hot chick.
She was a hot chick.
Supposed to be.
Supposed
Mrs. Ackroyd. Well, no. I mean, like, you know, every show had one that always had the hot chick. She was the designated hot chick.
Yes. Okay.
Designated. You know, yes. She just wasn't. She was designated.
You know, like they always have a token black guy. They always have a token hot chick.
Yes, I don't know why you're so racist.
That really was a rather racist thing to say, yeah. Vanessa.
No, saying you're going to be saying bad words, you know.
Ah, fuck that.
Next DVD is Casino Royale.
Bill, that would have been the layout part.
So Casino Royale is finally hitting DVD
yes,
and Blu-ray.
I still have not freaking seen this movie. Have you, Steven?
Uh-uh.
I haven't Great seen flick. The last three James Bond movies.
I would have to say it's the best James Bond film in, God, 10 years, maybe more.
You know what? I know.
What
because
make a video game for it.
Everyone loved, you know, they're like, Pierce Brosnan, how dare you? But you know what? They weren't good movies. They weren't. No, Golden Eye is watchable. The music sucks ass in it. It pulls me right out of it. It's done on
the
a friggin' keyboard. And the other ones, Tomorrow Never Dies and all that, not that good. Christmas Jones, all that, no. The last one, Madonna did the song, not that good. God. Not good
now,
stuff.
I got that.
Yeah.
That was
well, they
bad.
Put a lot of the...
Halle Berry.
About advertising now. Have you noticed that? They have to put a lot of products in there. And it's like the commercials they had. I think it was, maybe it was Tomorrow Never Dies. They kept showing the BMW commercial or something. It's
BMW, Omega watches.
And you know what? He went back. Didn't he go back to the Aston Martin?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Now, Bill, tell me about this film.
Casino Royale was the first book that Ian Fleming wrote, and it really captures the spirit of the book for the first time in any of these movies, except Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
What I hear, Bill, also, this is basically Batman Begins. This is 007 Begins, right?
Well, sure, yeah. It was the first novel Ian Fleming wrote, and Daniel Craig just knocks it out of the park.
Billy.
He's a great actor. They got a really good actor to play that
part.
They
had to have seen him in Layer Cake and just went,
right.
Whoa,
because
this guy is good.
After you watch Layer Cake, you know, the movie's over, and you're like, you know what? He would be a good Bond. You immediately know that.
Well, the only thing that concerns me about this whole Bond thing is after Layer Cake came out, they were saying that they were going to do a sequel because they leave the ending up to your imagination. They just fade to white at the end. I'm afraid that maybe the Bond people won't let him do the sequel to Layer Cake if Matthew Vaughn decides to do it.
Right. I'm also worried that they'll fall back into old form with another James Bond film.
I hope they won't, but I hear the next James Bond flick is going to be an original. It's not going to be based on any of Ian Fleming's novels.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what I've heard about it.
Proposal to jack off.
Oh. Well, I suppose some people do that in a dark theater, but
people like you take that quote way out of context.
But yeah, it's out of Casino Royale, hits on DVD and also on Blu-ray, so I'll be picking that up in high definition.
I just have a problem here.
You know what? Forget the format wars, Bill. I want either one, okay? I don't care.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of decided that, too, whenever I first had the HD DVD, and then movies started coming out on Blu-ray that I wanted. And now it's just like, you know what? I don't care. Whosever version is better, I'll buy it.
And cheap.
Like, yeah, like The Departed came out on both HD DVD and Blu-ray, and I decided to get it on Blu-ray because it had the uncompressed 5.1 PCM sound. So, and that's a little better than the true HD, I think, that was
the first
on the
one that's like $200 I'm getting.
Yeah, well, it's getting lower and lower. They're going to their second generation Blu-rays, and they're down to like $400, $500 now.
Sounds good
to
me.
In like a month or so.
Get my PS3,
sexy girl.
So, yes, this next DVD belongs in the what the category. It's Dukes of Hazzard: The Beginning.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah, what the hell is that? Straight to video.
Dukes of Hazzard with two people I've never heard of playing Bo and Luke.
You got to hand it to Universal, though. I believe they're the ones who are doing this. And they also did all the American Pie. They're tapping a market that's there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the straight-to-video TNA market.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Bandcamp.
I'm like 15, 16 years old, and, you know, my parents don't know any better, and I rent it. And, you know, I'm looking at really fast flashes of breasts and stuff, but that's enough because I can pause it. Slow mo. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
But what's hilarious about this straight-to-video version is they got Willie Nelson to reprise his role.
Good God.
So he must have been
100.
Yeah, he was stoned. He's like, ah, it's nice to see you again, Johnny Knoxville. It's like, dude, I'm not Johnny Knoxville. I'm his replacement. You've never heard of him. And of course,
But it's funny, straight-to-video movies kind of show the status of actors.
Where's that Arab fella who directed the last one?
J. Sugar Sigmo.
He wrote some good fatties on that set. Who plays Daisy in this one?
I think it's Daisy, or Daisy is April Scott.
Ashley Scott's younger sister?
Maybe. I know she has large implants and she's mildly attractive. But getting back to status, it's funny because who's in this? Harlan Williams and Christopher McDonald. Those two poor bastards.
Harlan Williams, after Rocket Man, what happened? That movie was awesome!
I can't believe they even made that.
Rocket Man. His best, greatest role ever was in the Dumb and Dumber when he's like, sipping back on Grandpa's cop medicine. Oh, yeah, I love that scene. Then he takes a swig of the piss.
On Conan last night on a repeat.
Poor Harlan Williams.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Hey, Rocket Man 2, straight to video Universal. Give it to us.
They got
to
get the same chimp in it too.
Right. I loved Rocket Man. It was really funny.
Never It was about as good as Caddyshack 2. Had the same actress also.
It's not funny.
Oh, sorry, Lila. We're upsetting Lila again. Everyone calm down. Sorry,
Next
Lila.
Next DVD is for Vanessa. It's Ghost Special Collector's Edition.
Yes! Yes, it's... Vanessa had a huge Patrick Swayze crush.
Ew!
She likes
rude.
Dalton.
She's tough. She's arrogant. She's pushy. She's disgusting.
You liked his...
In certain ways, she's a degenerate.
His hair-sprayed wings on the side of his head.
His feathered hair.
Don't be rude.
Who doesn't like that?
Because we live here. That's one of his best lines from Red Dawn. Awesome.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I want him to say all those lines in a new movie. Just all of his lines in a new flick. The guy's a genius. Vanessa, you okay?
I'm sorry.
Wolverines!
Scares me, Jason.
Sorry, Lila. You're upsetting Lila, Vanessa.
Who cares?
Oh, Jason, I have a life, too.
I know, Lila. Vanessa's lost her freaking mind. There's nothing I can do about it.
She always does near the end of the show.
50 yeah. cc's of citrocetraline.
Oh, hello.
Next DVD is Harsh Times, the Christian Bale film. Written and directed by David Ayer.
Yeah, came and went fast.
Yes, it did. So maybe you might want to rent it. But it didn't look particularly good to me.
Well, the one thing I heard about it was that...
I love the whole kind of like hip-hop kind of reggae thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Christian Bale, he can sing.
Yes, he plays an excellent Rastafarian.
Yeah, I got a clip from the movie. Watch me now with the woodwire, and I said, come with the funky sound to get your snowboard the show, and we'll make get your snowboard off the show. What? Hump the naysayers, because they don't meet us. Hump the naysayers? We bring. Now
it's morning, but last night's on my that mind. Snow?
Need to get on he plays samba on a vine.
What did,
what did he say about a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
The Holiday is our next DVD with.
I get it.
Yes.
I'm glad Colonel Ty gets it.
There's a certain one-eyed colonel that loves the Holiday.
One-eyed colonel! Nice!
So if you like chick flicks like Colonel Ty does, you can check in with this Nancy Myers film with Jude Law, Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet, and Jack Black. Registering a what-the-hell-are-you-doing-in-this-movie... Yes. I actually painfully saw this film against my will and torture. Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz meet up online and decide to switch homes for the holiday. So Kate Winslet goes to Los Angeles, and Cameron Diaz goes to England. So
and hilarity ensues.
So it's hilarity, a great plot.
So hilarity and romance.
It's changing rooms of the movie.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Struggling.
Except they don't renovate.
Interesting. I'm going to check that out, because you know what? I like movies where people change houses. It's the it's the new version of the Body Switch movies, vice versa.
Like father, like son.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. Before Kirk Cameron found the master, he was rocking the shit with Dudley Moore in that movie.
Yes. But you can't you know, you got to recognize Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold.
Yes, yes, vice versa. Fred Savage rocked the shit in that one as well. And you
so
know?
There's nothing like a crazy, mysterious, upside-down skull with powers.
The way you turned me. Hey, there was a third Body Switch movie. What was it?
Oh, Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday.
There was also
there were the two Freaky Fridays, if you will.
Yeah. But I mean, around that period of time, there was like three
another
buddies.
80s one.
It was almost like they had the sub-movies, Leviathan, Deep Star 6, The Abyss.
No.
Now they have the...
Dream a Little Dream.
Yeah, Dream a Little Dream. Maybe that was it. Yeah, I think
you're right. Wasn't that the one with Jason Robards? And the Hames, the Coreys,
yep.
The Hames.
And what's yeah.
That's a great thing.
What's crazy about this, Bill, during the holiday, while it was in production, three other house-switching movies being made. It's crazy.
You know, I think they should dig up Gregory Hines and make another sequel to Eve of Destruction.
Or White Knights. White Knights was awesome, too.
You can dig up both of them.
I just watched that again.
Like, when T3 came out, I was like, did the guy just watch Eve of Destruction? It was like, yeah, good idea! A chick Terminator!
Man, it was weird seeing Gregory Hines in a movie like that.
That was
like,
an awesome flick, man.
I was waiting for him to break into tap dance while shooting a pistol.
I love his best movie was Deal of the Century.
Rest in peace, Gregory.
Yeah.
She's crude. She's tough. She's arrogant. She's pushy. She's disgusting. In certain ways, she's a degenerate.
Man.
Well, he really summed it up about Vanessa.
He didn't call me white.
I didn't even know he knew you, Vanessa.
And that's DVDs for March 13th, 2007.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I'm going to pick up Casino Royale.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Alright, everybody, that was episode 72 of Nowhere on Mulberry. Thanks for listening. It's fun to be back, it's good to be back, and hopefully we didn't skim over the shows way too quick. The truth is, folks, we didn't remember the shows. We have short memory spans. Okay,
it's all the illicit drugs.
Exactly, Bill.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
Oh, Andy's kids, tune out. Don't listen.
Seems.
Now, if you guys would like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send us a voicemail at 1206-202-3491. Also, I have now highlighted a link in bold, Bill, of Mulberry Old School. If you'd like to go to nowheremulberry.com, look on the right, scroll down, click Mulberry Old School. All of our old shows, like 1 through 52 or something, are on there right now. So if you want to listen to any of them, hopefully, I mean, I really think all those shows are top-notch.
Millions of people disagree with you.
Top-notch embarrassing.
Yes. Yeah. We were much better back in our heyday. Now we're all jaded, right?
Yeah.
Too much success has gone to our heads.
All this money and fame.
Yeah. All this podcast wealth.
We got bad when we lost Billy West.
Yes, we did. I am looking into TalkShoe. And I think
awesome.
I think we will be doing TalkShoe in probably April or May. We're going to try TalkShoe. And what that is, we'll let everyone know about it on our website and forum and on the show. What that'll be is everyone will have to download TalkShoe, the program. It's free, totally free, just like Skype. And what you'll do is, say we do the show on Saturday night, you log on to TalkShoe, and you will be able to listen to us do the show. And you're on Skype and TalkShoe, I'll be able to say, hey, Boglin Joe, hey, you're on the show. And you'll come on and you'll talk to us and tell us how much you love us or hate us. And it'll be great.
It'll be live.
Yes, it'll be live. Live and on the scene with Nowhere in Mulberry.
So we'll have to watch our language.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
But I wanted to read you guys an email that I got this week. This is from Paul Wong Pan. To the guys over in Nowhere in Mulberry, love the show. Listen to it every week and can't get enough. Wow. Just want to get to the link to your old episodes because I've visited your site and cannot find the NIM Old School link anywhere. That's hence the bold print now. One more thing. Could you please get Andy from the Saloon back on your show because he rocks. Check you later. Wongas, he signs out as. So we'll try to get him back on. He's a very busy guy. He's in the pod stratosphere. We're lowly, but he's like... You know, it's like getting Trump on our show. But we'll try to get him on again. What do you guys think?
He'll come back.
This is Sparta!
Andy rules. I can't wait to have him back.
Yeah, it'll be fun. A lot of fun. Well, guys, that's the show. Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 72. We'll be back to episode 73. Steven will be here. Steven,
I'm always here.
You said you're going to be drunk next episode, right?
I'm going to be drunk.
We're going to try a new thing.
We should do that.
We're all going to
be drunk, too.
We're going to be shit-faced on a show.
It'd be my birthday.
The only thing is I get belligerent. Oh, birthday drop there, Vanessa.
Yeah, that's right, because God of War 2 is coming out this week. Hint, hint. Hint.
Yeah, that's a hint to the guy who works at KB Games or whatever. What the hell?
That means you go to the bargain bin and buy our God of War 1.
Yes. I had the first God of War. I had to buy it again.
Yes, Vanessa. Yes. Yes. It is Vanessa's, 43rd. Vanessa's,
72 years old.
20. She's an old bag. Vanessa's birthday, and happy birthday, Vanessa.
Thank you.
And as a birthday treat to you, we're going to go out with some birthday music. What do you guys say? Watch me now with the woodwork, and I said, come with the funky sound to get you snowboard the show. And we'll snowboard the show? Funky. What is he talking about? Humping naysayers?
Punk the naysayers?
No, he says hump.
Watch me now with the woodwork, and I said, come with
the funky sound to get you snowboard the show. And we'll snowboard the show. Hump the naysayers because they don't mean anything. Basically, this song is talking about rape. This is very poor taste.
It's about successful rape.
Meaning what?
Oh. Exactly, Saeed. Jesus, it's called overkill, okay?
It's not funny. It's not funny, Jason.
It's
not funny.
Okay, Lila, just take a Xanax or something. Christ. All right, guys, that's the show. Have a good one.
Now this is podcasting.